Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning. I give you honor and praise and glory for all your children. Every one of us gathered together for fellowship today, and those that will be listening in replays later on, it is well with all of us. Glory to God. We thank you for the benefits and the blessings that you have promised us and our children from the scriptures. And we give you, Lord, the praise. We walk in these blessings today and always. We claim these blessings. We speak them over our lives and speak them over our children's lives. For your thoughts and your plans towards us are for peace and for blessings, not for trouble. And you give us an expected end. We give you, Lord, glory and praise. And as always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. So let it be on here this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. I want to talk about generational blessings for just a little bit today. Now, you will recall that yesterday we were talking about great and exceeding promises for you and your children, basically. You know, so today, and we showed yesterday how that the children are blessed, you know, are blessed because of your integrity, because of your standing with the Lord. They are blessed. And so today, I want to just reinforce that with this lesson. Hopefully it won't be too long. Just to show the examples of how God did it in the scriptures. Praise the Lord. All the places, especially those who were key characters in the plans of God down through the ages. And how God showed, you know, his blessing, covenant from one to another, from the father to the children, on and on. And, you know, that's what we want to talk about today. Now, as you know, people talk a lot about generational curses. And that's not a thing that I care to talk about too much. But I prefer to talk about generational blessings, because we are not under the curse. And even if there were any curses before in your lineage, scripture says, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 to 14, you know, that, you know, we have been set free. We've been set free from all those curses, whatever they were, because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Praise the Lord. And the price that he paid to secure our freedom and our deliverance, you know, from those so-called generational curses. But there's some people who spend their whole lifetime, you know, still living under the curse, and say, well, this thing was in my family, or that thing was this, or somebody spoke this, or somebody said that, you know. Whereas Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, any other curse that there might be, being made a curse for us. Well, if Christ was made a curse for you, well, why would you still want to be under the curse? For it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Christ did that so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Well, that we might receive the promise of his Spirit through faith. But I say also that the blessing of the Father, you know, comes unto the children, is what we were saying yesterday, and say spiritual heritage that God passes along and from one righteous man to his children and their children after that. Now, your spiritual heritage is what I want to talk about today. You know, it has often been said that God has no grandchildren, and that is true. Yet, the scripture is full of references to generational blessings, some of which we covered yesterday. All those promises that we read yesterday to our children, they started off by, you know, God directing that promise to the parent first. You know, he would say, well, you know, the seed of the mighty shall be blessed. Well, you know, blessed is the man that walketh in his integrity. His children shall be mighty under the earth. So in every case of those that we read yesterday, and if you missed it, yeah, you may have to go listen to it, you know, again. In every case, God directed it, you know, first to his, to the righteous man as walking in his integrity, and thereafter, well, to his children. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and wonders. Well, you know, that's not even grammatically correct, but there's a reason why God arranged it like that. Normally you would say, my children and I, that's the way you would say that. My children and I are, you know, such and such. You put the third person first and then yourself. That's how you would speak it. But to show that there is a transfer of grace from to your children because of what God put upon you, he wrote it this way. I starts with you and my children. That's right. And so we covered that a lot yesterday. Today, I'm just going to show you these examples in the Bible of a godly or goodly heritage, you know, that passed from one generation to another. You know, throughout the scriptures, we see how God did that. And so it'll give us the strength of the scriptures and give us a good foundation for believing the word of God. And we see, well, you know, what is being taught is what has been done in the scriptures. So we're encouraged to believe God even for more. Praise the Lord. Now, throughout the times that God was dealing with, you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, etc., you know, these were some key people in God's plans, and they featured in the genealogy of the Christ. And we'll start with, Abraham, we'll go to Isaac, we'll go to Jacob, we'll go to David, we'll go to Jesus, we'll go to you even. But let's talk about a few things first. Psalm 16 and verse 6 says that, you know, talking about a spiritual heritage. Well, we got this blessing already from the Lord, you know, so you can declare this for yourself, everyone, that the lines are falling unto you. So, Sammy said, the lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. Yay, I have a goodly heritage. His heritage was not really from his father, Jesse. Well, that was part was there too, but mostly from the Lord. And, you know, so the Lord has given us a goodly heritage. And we can pass this heritage on to our children, even as we discovered yesterday. Here are some instructions. We talked about many things yesterday. How we must, you know, teach our children in the way they should go, how we must pray for them and so on. Now, here's an instruction for every parent, father, mother, etc. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 to 21. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul. You bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets, just like glasses, between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, or when thou risest up. You teach it to your children. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house, upon thy gates, so that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children. See, whatever blessing you get goes on to your children too, because you are teaching them the word of the Lord. Your days will be multiplied, and then your children's days will also be multiplied in the land which the Lord thy God swear unto thy fathers to give them. Well, give them to your fathers, and then you also inherit them. That was the story of the children of Israel. Now let's look at some of the covenants of promise, powerful covenants of promise that we saw in the scriptures, how they passed from generation to generation. Now, beginning as early as Genesis chapter 12, God handpicked Abram. That was his name at the time. He really wasn't trying to be anything, but God handpicked him. Genesis 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. God's going to start a new lineage with him. Detach him from all that old stuff. You know, grew up in the land of, unbelievers, or the, you know, heathen, as they call them in those days. And God said, well, I'm going to detach you from all of that. I'm going to start something good. A clean break. So every one of us can get a clean break also from our past. If that past was not good, the ones that they call curses and stuff, you can get a clean break from you when you come to the Lord. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and thy father's house. I'm going to show you something great. He said, I will make of thee, a great nation. So starting with Abraham. And I will bless thee and I'll make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. A blessing from Abraham down to his generations. And I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curseth you. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, this one man, Abraham, was favored like nobody else. Something that was Abraham was going to pass to all, not just one person, not just his direct, offsprings or his direct children, but all. His own was special. God ordained it that way. But this is how God showed us how he can pass the blessing from one to many. Praise the Lord. One man blessed, and because of him, others blessed. His children blessed, and their children after them. And God gave this covenant, this blessing to Abraham. Even when Abraham didn't know anything about it, the Lord said, I'm going to make you great and you're going to be a blessing. And everyone that bless you, I will bless. Everyone also that curse you, I will curse, and so forth. Now, in Genesis chapter 17, it's all the places where the Lord spoke some of these incredible things to Abraham and see how he passed it on later on. Here's the covenant the Lord spoke to him. As for me, Genesis 17:4, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Now there is a blessing upon Abraham that will pass upon many, even many nations. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish. Now, this is God saying all these things. It's not anything Abraham did. God just saying it. But God already knew him. And I will make nations of thee. Kings shall come from thee. I will establish my covenant with me and thee. Then notice, he didn't stop there. See, this is a spiritual heritage from the fathers to the children. I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations. That means along the line, you know, down through the line like that. You, your children, and their children after them, and then their children too after them. For an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed. It always starts from thee and then to thy seed. You know, God is not interested in jumping over you to your seed. He starts with you, then your seed after that. You know, so, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee. See how God always says it? First to you and then to your seed after you. I will give them this land wherein currently you are a stranger, even the land of Canaan, all of it, an everlasting possession, and I will be their God as I am your God. I will be their God also. Praise the Lord. And the Lord said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep this my covenant, therefore, thou first, and thy seed after thee in their generations. Praise the Lord. And so he gave him the covenant at that time. You know, the circumcision and so forth. But I'm not going to talk too much about that. I just want to show you the flow of how the Lord spoke to Abraham and spoke to his seed. Also, even when he didn't have a child, God spoke to Abraham and to his seed after him. That's how it works. You first, then your seed after you. And these are what I call generational blessings. Whatever God was blessing Abraham with, he was going to pass it on, you know, down the line. Let's look at Genesis chapter 26. Cover all these places where God spoke these powerful things to Abraham first, and then we're going to see how later on he passed it on, you know, to others. In the first, few verses of Genesis 25, there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. You can see, and Isaac, now, we're jumping out to Isaac. And Isaac now went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him there. Now, this is Isaac now. We've moved on from Abraham, and now moving on to Isaac. And the Lord appeared unto him there and said, go not down to Egypt. Dwell in the land that I shall tell you of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee, for unto thee and to thy seed. Now, you know, now again, God is speaking something to Isaac, to thee and thy seed. Always to thee first, you know, and then to your seed. Will I give all these countries? And I will perform the oath. So now God is going to go back, you know, and link it up. I will perform the oath that I swear unto Abraham, your father. So it started with your father. Now it's coming upon you. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. And I will give unto thy seed now. First Abraham, now Isaac, then after that, all their seed. I will give to thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all these nations of the earth be blessed. Why? Let's look at why. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Because of what your father did, that's a blessing that's coming to you. This is how God did it, you know, in those days. So everyone that likes to look for the evil stuff that passing down the generations, well, think again. There is better stuff because of the righteousness of the father. Our blessing goes to the child. That's right. Let nobody tell you that it's not in the scriptures. Jesus, you know, I mean, God just said it here. Because of what your father did, that's why I'm blessing you too. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord gave it to him. So it is important for us to know that these things are in the scriptures. And so that was how God passed it from Abraham to Isaac. Well, let's see how God will pass it from Isaac to Jacob. Now, notice verse 5 is very key. He said, these blessings are coming unto Isaac because of what Abraham did. That's very important. Now, let's look at Genesis chapter 28. We've seen God giving a covenant of blessing to Abraham. We've seen him give it to Isaac because of Abraham. Well, okay. Let's see what God will do for Jacob now, who is the son of Isaac. In Genesis chapter 28, now let's read how the Lord encountered Jacob, and I pronounced a blessing with him, I mean for him as well. The same blessing that was being passed down. We read in verse 10 of Genesis 28. Jacob went out from Beersheba, went out toward Haran, lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. So he took the stones of that place, put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And as he dreamt, he saw a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached up to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above the ladder and said to him, I am the God. Now notice how God, you know, addressed this man. I am the God of thy father. See, Abraham. And God of Isaac. So God started this, you know, lineage from Abraham. You know, that's where he started. And he pointed out that I'm the God of Abraham. He called Abraham his father, not even his grandfather. I'm the God of Abraham, your father. And I am the God of Isaac, your father also. The land where thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. I gave it to Abraham. I promised it to Abraham. He may not have quite obtained it, but I promised it to his seed after him, Isaac. Now I'm promising it to you as well. You know, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Same thing he said to Abraham. Same thing he said to Isaac. Same thing is now saying to Jacob. Come out here and see the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. God told Abraham, told Isaac the same thing. I'll make your seed like I mean, so many. You know, you can't count them. Saying the same thing to Jacob here. You know, and in thy seed. Now, in this case, we see that our seed is Christ. We're told later in the book of Galatians. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee. You know, and I will keep thee in all the places, you know, that you are going to, and I'll bring you into the land. I will not leave you until I've done all these things that I've spoken to thee of. Now, so, and he woke up, he said, my goodness, definitely the Lord is in this place. And I didn't know it. So, God gave it to Abraham, gave it to Isaac, he gave it to Jacob, and he kept on passing it down one by one by one. Now, what was the obedience, you know, also that God was talking about? The obedience of Abraham, you know, how that, you know, the Lord challenged him, you know, and he obeyed, even to the point of sacrificing Isaac, and he obeyed. But this is something that the Lord said about Abraham. That's a testimony that the Lord gave about Abraham. He said in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 17, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that which I do? See, the Lord already saw. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessing him. Shall I then hide anything from him? For I know him. See, this is the secret. I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that good thing which he has spoken of him. You know? So, because the Lord knew that this man was going to raise his household in a godly manner and after the godly pattern, the Lord said, I'm going to bless him. Hallelujah. You know, because God knows him. Well, I asked the question yesterday, can it be said of you that I know you? Especially fathers. Can it be said of you that I know you, that you will command your household after you? Well, so let's fast forward to David. Was another key person in the lineage that God chose, and see how what God spoke to David and then to Solomon thereafter. In the book of 2 Samuel chapter 7, you know, there is an account here that we read. Praise the Lord. Now, we know that, you know, David, you know, he was wanting to build the house of the Lord and so on and so forth. You know, and the Lord told Nathan, you know, that, well, go and tell David that, you know, ask him a question. Shall you build me a house to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time I brought you out, children of Israel and so forth, from Egypt, went from tent to tent. You build me a house now? You know, but say unto him, well, I took thee from the sheepcote, he said, but following the sheep, to be ruler over my people. And I was with thee wheresoever you went. I cut off your enemies and so forth. And I made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, that they may dwell in their own place, neither shall their children, the children of wickedness, afflict them any more. You know, and since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people, you know, I've caused you to have rest from all your enemies. Now, the Lord also tells you that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, listen to this, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Now, God is saying these things about the seed that will come after David, but we're always talking about the throne of David. Well, God is saying the same thing to the seed that will come after David, which is, we know, turned out to be Solomon. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. But it was the kingdom of David that God will first, you know, establish. Now, establish the kingdom of Solomon. Why? You know, well, he shall build me a house. I will establish kingdom. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And if he commit iniquity, God already knew he was going to do that. I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men, but my mercy shall not depart away from him, like I took it from Saul. It will not depart. Now, and God is going to bring it all together. Thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before me. Thy throne shall be established before me. How is God going to do it? Well, first through David, then through Solomon. This is what God said. Again, in 1 Kings chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, Solomon himself recounting these things, you know, because his father used to tell him, and he knew it, you know. And he said, you know, let's read even actually from verse 1, 1 Kings chapter 9. And it came to pass, when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire, which he pleased him to do, and the Lord appeared unto Solomon the second time, as he had appeared unto him in Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication. He prayed a powerful prayer in chapter 8, when he dedicated that temple, to the Lord. My goodness. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me, and I have hallowed this house. As he prayed, he said, let the Lord hallow this house, and if any man plagued with anything shall come into this house and spread their house, their hands before this place, let the Lord hear from heaven. If they be plagued with rain, mildew, blasting, or this and that, then they shall come into this place and pray, hear thou from heaven. He prayed a powerful prayer in the previous chapter. And the Lord said, well, I've heard you. And he told him that if thou wilt walk before me, see, listen to this. If thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of your heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I commanded thee, and if thou wilt keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, even as I promised it to David your father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. You know, so you can see how God always making the connections, never leaving out the, you know, the connection between the father and the children. Call it spiritual heritage. It passes from the father to the children. So it is the responsibilities of fathers, especially, to walk in the ways of the Lord. And so to assure the blessing first upon you, I first, and then the children that God has given me for signs and wonders. You know, that's the pattern that God set. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 21, we read some promises yesterday, a lot of things. I'll just give you these few others as well. You know, we read this one yesterday. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be blessed. You know, the connection here is that they are the seed of the righteous. The blessing is coming unto them because of the righteousness of their father. Now, they themselves have a responsibility. You automatically pass on to them, but whether they keep it or not, that's a different story. Because each person is accountable. You cannot, it'll pass on to you from your righteous father. It's automatic. However, you have the responsibility to maintain your own integrity like your father did. And if you don't, the thing might get away from you. So, you know, the blessing will come upon the children because of the father's integrity, but the children have a responsibility of their own to start and maintain their own relationship directly. Even though there's a blessing they inherited, it's called a spiritual heritage. They inherited that from the blessing that was on their father, passed on to the children. You know, it's automatic. But the child himself or themselves must now take the baton and run with it. If they don't, they lose everything. You know, so, you know, no child will be saved, you know, just because their father was saved. They themselves must make that relationship with God. However, you know, they have, quote unquote, a foot in the door, if you might call it that way. Jesus said to one man, he said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. The children of the righteous are not far. See, because the father had been training them, teaching them the word of God. So they are not very far from the kingdom. They are right there. But they must of their own accord also take that responsibility of walking in their own integrity before the Lord as well. Now, Solomon, did he do it at first? But later, you know, piled upon himself all kinds of strange women who brought in their strange gods. But, you know, because of the promise that God made to David, he would not destroy the whole thing. You know, you know, all the stuff that Solomon did eventually, you know, was worthy of, you know, being destroyed. But God remembered, you know, the sure mercies of David. Praise the Lord. So, begin in Psalm 112. We read some of these things yesterday. You know, verses 1 and 2. You know, it says, blessed is the man, say, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. See, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. It starts with him, you know, because of he fearing the Lord and he, the Father, delighting greatly in God's commandments. Therefore, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. That's a spiritual heritage that's passing from the fathers to the children. Absolutely. You know, it's in the scriptures. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. You know, that blessing is coming upon them because they themselves were righteous and upright before the Lord. Therefore, there's a blessing upon their seed. Guaranteed in the scriptures. Now, for those of you who are listening to me, if you have children, your children are protected. See, and you protect them also by your prayers. And you must know that, look, there is something, you know, there's a covering that they have because of your integrity before the Lord. Now, they will automatically have that covering. However, they themselves have a responsibility. You know, if they mess around and don't stay in line with what they inherited, they might lose it. But they will inherit it nonetheless. Praise the Lord. It's like the prodigal son. He inherited all these things, but he went and made foolishness of everything. And he lost it all. But he did inherit it. You know, so you, your children will inherit it. This is why you must train them that they must follow. In order to keep the blessing, they must follow on to know the Lord. And they must walk in these ways like you are walking. We give them charge. Say, I charge you, Solomon, David charged Solomon, say, I charge you, walk after the Lord. You know, you need to walk after the Lord. You need to walk before him, serve him with all your heart. Fathers must charge, you know, their children like that. You know, Psalm 128 tells you more about the same things, you know, that we read yesterday. I'm just trying to bring it together to show us how God actually does prove in the scriptures, how the scriptures actually does prove that God can pass this generation to generation, the blessing. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, Psalm 128 verse 1, that walketh in his ways. See? Now, first of all, you yourself will be blessed because of walking in the ways of the Lord. You are blessed. Say, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. Yeah, so you are blessed. But not only that, it doesn't stop there. You say, well, you will eat the labor of your hands. Well, happy shall thou be, and it shall be well with thee, because you fear the Lord and you walk in his ways. Yeah, these are your benefits. Now, the benefits will even pass on to your wife. Your wife will be as a fruitful vine besides the size of your house. Now, that's it. Your children also inherit the blessing because you fear the Lord and you walk in his ways. Your children will also be, you know, like plants around your table. You have a lot of children. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. This is the, you know, this is the summary of the life of the man that feareth the Lord. He will be blessed. His wife will be fruitful. His children will be blessed, you know, and they'll be around him. And they see, because he feared the Lord, coming upon his seed because of his own integrity before the Lord. Now, like I've said repeatedly, the children themselves, they receive that, you know, heritage, but they now have a responsibility to hold on to it. But they will receive it from the Lord. It's proven in the scriptures. The blessing is conferred automatically to the children because of the righteousness of the father. But the blessing, in order for the blessing to remain upon the children themselves must walk in the ways of the Lord. That's what the lesson is all about for today. Now, sadly, in the case of Solomon, had it not been that God had spoken these things of, you know, to David, Solomon really, you know, did a number, you know. And, but, you know, the Lord promised what he would do, you know. From David to Solomon, God had promised. But let's read something that happened to Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 11. And Solomon, from verse 6, did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord as did David his father. So I'm telling you, now, just because the blessing came upon him because of the father was chosen and the blessing dropped down to the next generation automatically. Well, the next generation is responsible for walking after the Lord themselves. If they don't, they will lose everything. You know, see what happened here. You know, and he said he turned. It came to pass, you know, that when Solomon was old, from verse 4, you know, because he married all these people that he shouldn't have married, strange wives from everywhere, which God had told them not to do, but they will corrupt you, he said. They will bring in their gods and things. Don't get anyone from those lands. He didn't listen, you know, and all kinds of concubines, all kinds of what? I don't know how a man can deal with all that, you know, his heart turned away from the Lord, and his wives also turned away his heart, you know. And it came to pass that when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart away after, from the Lord towards other gods. And Solomon's heart at the end of his days was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. Was it? For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites, because of all the wives that he brought in. They brought in their gods with them. And Solomon, you know, just following, you know. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord as his father David. Now, Solomon built all the high places of Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and the hill that was before Jerusalem, the Molech, you know, all these gods of the sons and all these things, the abomination of children of Ammon, and likewise did with all these strange wives, burnt incense and sacrificed to their gods. I mean, he provoked God to his face at the very end. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord of God of Israel, who had appeared unto him twice. And I commanded him concerning this same thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he didn't listen. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, listen to this in verse 11. For as much as thou hast done this, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I commanded thee, I will surely rent the kingdom from you and will give it to thy servant. See, so even though, you know, there was a blessing from David unto him, well, it was now his turn to maintain his integrity before the Lord by walking in the way of the Lord and keeping the charge of the Lord. But he did not. His heart was drawn after all this wickedness of the wives and surrounded himself with, followed after their gods, should have known better, provoked the Lord to anger. And the Lord said, well, that's it. I'm going to rent the kingdom from you and give it to your servant. And it exactly happened. Nevertheless, see, in thy days will I not do it for David, thy father's sake. So there was still something there because of his father. God's going to punish the man, you know, take away, you know, his posterity and his blessing. But because of the integrity of the father, David, God will remember something. Say, well, I will not rent it out of, you know, I will not rent the kingdom in your days, but I will rent it after you in the days of thy son. And, you know, this kingdom split after him. And, howbeit, I will not rent away all the kingdom, but I will leave one tribe to the son of David, you know, to thy son, for that David, my father's sake. I'll leave one tribe to thy son, for David, my father's sake. See, the Lord is still remembering the blessing of David, that he blessed David. Still remembering it. Even when Solomon came up for judgment, because of what God promised to David, God will still do something. So you can see how the blessing of the father, when inherited by the children, can fade away if they children themselves don't walk in the ways of the Lord. So don't let anyone say that I'm saying one saved, the child father is saved, the son is saved. I'm not saying any such thing. But I'm saying the blessing will pass on to them, but they themselves must walk in the ways of the Lord. Keep the charge that their father charged them, so that it might be well with them. But it starts always with the Father. Praise the Lord. Well, that's our lesson today. Really a part of yesterday's lesson. Responsibility of the spiritual heritage is from the fathers to the children. There's a lot of responsibility, by the way, I should say, to fathers. Unfortunately, I don't have too many men on this platform to hear this. If you look at the platform, you see the ratio of women completely outnumber the men. But men need to hear this. You know, a lot of responsibility, a lot of things fall apart because of men. You know, the responsibility was given to a man at the beginning. It wasn't given to Eve. It was given to Adam. You know, and things fell apart, as far as I'm concerned, because of Adam. And it was Adam that God, you know, blamed mostly. In fact, later on, Paul would tell us Adam was not deceived. It was a woman. He knew what he was doing because the woman already did it. So he just went along with it. But he should not have. See? Should have put his foot down. And he did not. And look at all the mess that we are in today. And God blamed the first Adam. He didn't say the first Eve. It was always the first Adam. You know. And Jesus himself talked about it. You know. Put the responsibility squarely on the man. You know. To hold up his house. You know, he told many parables and called him the good man of the house. You know, he said, look, know this, that if the good man of the house, you know, would have watched, known the time this thief would come, then he would have watched and he's not suffered his house to have been broken up. Matthew 24 and verse 43. Jesus put the responsibility squarely upon the man. The man, in fact, you know, I don't know how any man, any family that does not have a godly man in that family as the priest of the house, I don't know how they can stand. You know, that house at best will be hanging on a thread. You know, and, you know, so every woman, especially every virtuous woman, deserves a godly shepherding husband. You must have heard that before. But the man is the one that is responsible. Put it squarely on him. Well, the woman also has responsibility, you know. But first, it starts with the man. Everything starts with the man. Well, to the woman, he also says, you know, blessed is the woman. And she is called a wise woman, you know, that in Proverbs 14 tells her that how she will build her house. But the one that is foolish would tear it down with her own hands. We've seen women that tear down their house. You know, but the responsibility starts with the man. If the good man of the house would have watched in the spirit, he would not have allowed his house to be broken up. Now, that's physically. You know, you keep guard over your house physically. Man's responsibility to make sure his family is safe physically. Spiritually, it's the same thing. You know, and also, you know, relationship-wise. You know, don't fight for your, you know, you gotta fight. Don't, you know, don't let your marriage be broken up. Man must fight for that thing. What do you think Jesus was doing? You know, Jesus' family was taking and getting away from him. The devil came and stole everything. You think Jesus is going to give up? No. He's going to give his life as a ransom to get us back. And he did. You know, so every man must fight for his marriage. You better fight for it. Fight to keep your children. Fight to keep your wife. Fight for everything. Does that mean then that the wife should just be a stumbling block to her husband? You know, Bible calls her here in Proverbs 14, calls her a foolish woman if she does that. You know, you gotta cooperate with your husband. Build a strong family. You know, there are many responsibilities that the father has. Listen to this in the book of Malachi. Even in reconciliation. And sometimes when we talk about father, it also means, you know, the mother in the case where the father is not there. You know, and you have to also take responsibility. We have single parents, and we acknowledge the good work that some of the women actually do in those situations. Doesn't mean that the family cannot function without a father. It just means that they will function better with the father present. That's God's pattern. And if that's not present, well, at best, you know, there will be some percentage, but not 100%. Listen to this in Malachi, you know, chapter 4, the very last verses of the Old Testament. You know, he said, "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And what shall he do? Well, he will turn the heart of the fathers to the children." It always starts with the fathers. And then the heart of the children to the fathers. What does that mean? There's an anointing God is going to bring for reconciliation. An anointing for restoration. An anointing for recovery. The father must take the first step. That's right. You take the first step, you know, when this man saw his son afar off in the story of the prodigal son, he ran towards him, fell on his neck and kissed him, because he was out there every day looking, saying, "My son is coming back. I know he's coming back." Maybe today he looked, waited all day. He didn't come. Was out there the next day waiting. And the moment he saw him afar off, he ran towards him. The son began to say, "Stop! You know, stop! You're my son!" Hallelujah. The father must take that responsibility. Some of you are fathers of little children. You may not know what I'm talking about. But those of you who are fathers of grown children, you know, and if that relationship is broken, you'll go after them. The heart of the father must be turned towards the children first. This is always God's pattern. And then, see, that's how God did it for us. Romans 5 and 8. You know, while we were yet sinners, God reached out to us. God didn't wait us to be all cleaned up and come to him. He took the first step. Praise God. Parents and mothers also, listen to this. Some of you mothers are also, it's not just fathers. There's some mothers in here that have lost relationship with their children. In fact, on this Clubhouse platform, I've heard stories, painful stories, prayer requests, and different things. Even on this our platform, you know, it was a woman that used to come here. She doesn't come here anymore, but complaining about, you know, relationship with, a broken relationship with her daughter and so on. Well, you need to take the first step. Take that step and reach out to them. Praise God. You know, some people have not spoken to their, you know, daughter or son in a long time. Why? You know, take the first step. They may be obstinate and not, you know, want to hear anything, but to, you know, do it anyway and be persistent. God never gave up on us. Neither should you give up on your children. You know, when things fall, there have been a few times when things have fallen apart between me and one of my children. I took the first step, called them up and say, "Hey, you know, I know this and this and this. Well, we got to settle." Praise God, you know, and you got to take that step. Because the enemy is always looking to take an advantage, to get an advantage. When he sees that, you know, you're at loggerhead, well, he's happy. You know, the devil thrives in that arena of when parents against, father against mother, I mean, daughter, son against this, and don't, you know, even siblings. And they are against each other. The devil thrives. You know, someone's got to take the high road, like people say. Well, will you be that person? Even Jesus said it. You know, when you bring your gift to the altar and you remember that somebody is still holding something against you. Not you, but they are doing something. You know, so you take the first step. Take the high road. Be the higher person. Be the better person. You reach out. You humble yourself and try to seek for reconciliation. You know, not many people can do that. Most of the time, we're arrogant. Why should I be the one? They're the ones that offended me. You know, so, but, you know, there's a lot of small lessons to be learned from these lessons. But foremost, let me bring it back to where we started with. It's a blessing that goes to the children because of the Father. Don't forget it. Every time you hear the messages of generational curses, which is what people like to talk about, remember this lesson right here. There are a generational blessing from the Lord. And that's the one that God wants to deal with. You know, even though at one time the Lord said that, you know, punishing the sins of the fathers of the children, I mean, to the children of the fourth generation and so forth, later on he said, you know, that's no longer going to be the case. You know, the fathers will no longer eat sour grapes, and then their children's teeth be set on edge, you know, but everyone will fend for themselves and everyone will defend themselves. You know, God said, look, you know, in the book of Jeremiah 31, where I was talking about a new covenant I will make with them in those days. I will write my laws in their hearts and so forth. Well, he also said, you know, that in two places he talked about this thing. Jeremiah 31, Ezekiel 18. You know, let's read some of the things that he said in Jeremiah 31, verses 29 to 30. The Lord talked about this. People used to say, well, generational curses. The father did something, the blame is upon the child. Maybe so. But, you know, the Lord changed it. In Jeremiah 31, he said, look, enough of this already. You know, the time is coming and now is that, you know, you will no longer say the father ate sour grapes, you know, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But everyone shall die for their own iniquity. Not the children punished for the father's iniquity anymore. This is the generational curse that people, you know, are always talking about. Everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his own teeth will be set on edge. Not his children. So God broke that chain of generational curses. You know, you can read that in Jeremiah, you know, chapter 31, verses 29 to 30. You know, God broke that thing. You know, it's broken. And, you know, so there is no need for us to keep thinking that that's the way it continues. Again, in Ezekiel chapter 18, you know, verses 2 and 3, the Lord broke the same thing. You know, he said, look, yeah, it had been said, you know, of old time that, you know, Father did this and everybody, you know, and so on. But he said, I'm changing that. The word of the Lord came unto me again and said, what mean ye that you use this proverb in the land of Israel, saying the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge? As I live, saith the Lord, you shall have no occasion anymore to use this proverb in Israel. Because all souls are now mine. As the soul of the father, so is the soul of this child, and so forth. You know, the soul that's in it, each shall bear his own responsibility. So, God have broken this. Take that and compare it with Galatians 3 that we read at the beginning. All those things are broken. But what we have now that remains are generational blessings, but also responsibility. You know, in order for you to maintain that spiritual heritage that was passed down because of the integrity of your father, you yourself must maintain. If you don't maintain, you lose it. Solomon did. So that's our lesson on the promises of God for children. Starts with the father or the parent, I, and the children that God has given me. Not the children and I, but I and the children. Always starts with you. The seed of the righteous. Well, started with the righteous. Blessed is the man that walks in integrity. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Always starts with you. You know, Psalm 115 verse 14, we read this also yesterday. You know, the Lord shall bless you more and more. You and your children. But it starts with you. The blessing starts with you and it passes on to your children. So I call it generational blessings, a spiritual heritage from the fathers to the children. You know, the title of the room was not long enough, or the space for the title was not long enough to put the whole, all of that. But what I would have liked to call it was the generational blessings, a spiritual heritage from the fathers to the children. That would be the full title. You know, so God bless everybody that's listening. Now we know our responsibilities as fathers. See, and as a father, I know that my children are blessed, yeah, because I brought them up in the way of the Lord. Furthermore, I know they are covered by my prayers. Every morning we get up, we pray for our children. In the evening also, we do the same, calling them by name, blessing them in the name of the Lord, you know, and we never give up, no matter what. Every day, bless those children in the name of the Lord, whether they are physically with us or not. And so occasionally they come around. We bless them in the name of the Lord. Now, some of them know it too. They'll say, well, you know, they want me to bless them. They know it. And when I'm praying over them, they will even turn on their phone and record it because they know, you know, and they'll listen to it again later on and later on and later on because they know that that thing carries a blessing from the Lord. Jacob leaning upon his staff. He blessed all his children. Whatever he said to all those 12 tribes, that's the way it was. You know, so when we bless our children, it's very powerful. You know, speak those blessings into the life. Never say those bad things to your children. Don't say it, no matter how angry you get. Don't you dare, you know, but you speak the words of life over your children. Hallelujah. Tell them how great they will be. Praise the Lord, you know. That's how you will bless your children. You know, Zechariah, you know, blessed John the Baptist. You know, when finally, I mean, his wife had been barren for a long time. And then when the child finally came by the word of the angel and so forth. Well, you know, it came to time, the point of time when, you know, the man now was filled with the Holy Ghost and he blessed the child. He said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. I've visited and redeemed his people. Now raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David and so on and so forth. You know, blessed, you know, the Lord, first of all, talked about this covenant he owed to his father, Abraham and so forth, all these things and so forth. Then he went to and turned to the child. And thou, child. This is Luke chapter 1, verse 76. Thou, child. Now the Spirit of the Lord come upon Zechariah. I'm going to bless his son now. Thou, child, you shall be called the prophet of the highest. You know, he put a blessing on that young boy. You know, young baby. Just a baby. Carry the baby. Put a blessing on him. Thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. And thou shalt go before the face of the Lord and prepare his ways and give knowledge of salvation to his people. And he began to bless the young man. Praise the Lord, you know. And the Bible says, well, you will do these things. You will, beautiful, beautiful prayer. And give knowledge of salvation to his children by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from high has visited us. And he put all this anointing and a blessing and a mandate upon the little boy. And he said, well, the child grew because of what his father prophesied over him. And he was strong in spirit. That's right. The father played a part of it too. Spoke those things over him. Zacharias knew it. Now, he prophesied it over his son. And it was so. Praise the Lord. So you prophesied over, especially the fathers. Unfortunately, many fathers are missing in action. Sadly. But if you step into that role, even as a mother, you can prophesy it over your children. Fathers can. The mothers can too. All parents can. Prophesy the goodness of the Lord over your life. Tell them they will be great. You will be great. You will go forth in the power of the Lord. You tell them the things that they are going to do. Stick it over there. And it shall be so in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for the spiritual heritage from the fathers to the children. The blessings that we have seen. The blessing of Abraham. Some people sing that song today. The blessing of Abraham came upon Isaac. And the blessing of Isaac came upon Jacob. Down through the line, came upon David and came upon Solomon. Praise the Lord. Lord, we thank you. And it came upon Christ. And it came upon us as well. And we take the blessing that we are blessed of the Lord and bless our children. Praise the Lord. I bless all my children in the name of the Lord. Both my physical children. And their children after them, they are all my children. I claim them as my children. Just like Jacob said to Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim are mine. So these your children are my children also. And I bless them in the name of the Lord. And they are the blessed of the Lord. I cover them. I cover my spiritual children also. Paul said, well, you may have 10,000 instructors. But, nobody can claim, say, look, I am your father in the gospel. So he had responsibility and he had the mandate and the anointing to bless his children. So therefore, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus and I pray for you that, your eyes will be enlightened. You may understand and comprehend with all the saints and these things. So I pray for all my spiritual children as well. Blessing of the Lord is upon you to cause your heart to be directed into the love of God and the patient waiting for Christ. I pray for my physical children and my spiritual children that the Lord God Almighty put upon you a grace that is upon me. Praise God. You can't give what you don't have. So such as I have, I give unto you. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are blessed of the Lord. And the favor of God be upon you. And listen to this one other blessing I want to give you. In Psalm 90, I want to read this for everyone of my children. And both physical and spiritual. That you are blessed of the Lord. I'm going to read the last two verses of Psalm 90 to you and pray this blessing over every one of you in the name of Jesus. Sometimes young folks are struggling to trying to make ends meet. Well, it says, let thy work appear unto thy servants. And I thank you, Lord, that your work has appeared unto me. Let thy glory be unto their children. Hallelujah. Let your glory, Lord, be unto my children. Hallelujah. And let the beauty of the Lord, our God, be upon us, both we and our children. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. So for all my children, physically, spiritually, let the beauty of the Lord shine upon you. Let him establish the work of your hands. Let the beauty of the Lord be upon you. Cause you to go from glory to glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.